In like 2019, everybody still wanted the dink. They still wanted to use the soft game. And we were coming like firing from, you know, from everywhere on the court. And that's kind of what we were known for. Well, when we came back in 2021, all of a sudden the game was much faster. Everybody was speeding up balls. Everybody was driving. Like, it was a totally different game. And we were like, whoa, this is what we normally do, not what other people do to us. And I just remember we left that tournament like, wow, we have a lot of work to do.
Hi, I'm Crystal Brown, your host. And we were lucky enough to catch up with Lee Waters, pro pickleball player, MLP coach, and mother to the number one pickleball player in the U.S., Anna Lee Waters. She shares her unexpected path to winning several pro titles as the mother-daughter duo, her unfortunate injury that forced her to take a break from playing, but was lucky enough to be invited to coaching. And what is it like for Anna Lee to go from anonymity to being a sponsored and very recognizable athlete at age 16? And what's in store for 2024? All right, now to the show. Welcome to Simply Pickleball, the podcast where we discuss all things pickleball, the fastest growing sport in America and around the world. We are interviewing the founders, industry leaders, athletes, lovers of the sport that are driving the spectacular growth. If you love pickleball as much as we do, listen in. Okay, well, Lee Waters, thank you so much for joining today. I am so excited to talk to you about all things pickleball and motherhood and coaching and your career. So let's maybe start with, have you been an athlete since you were little? Was it something that you did with your family? Maybe, I know your father's been involved in this pickleball story. So is it something that started early on for you?
Yeah, I've been an athlete my entire life. My father was very athletic and very into sports, and his background was baseball. He was drafted to the Cubs. He didn't end up going, but just very high-level athlete. He was always good at everything, didn't matter what it was. So from a very young age, I was throwing a ball, swinging bats, swinging a tennis racket, basically anything I could get my hands on. I was softball and tennis until probably a sophomore in high school. And it's pretty obvious I had to make a choice at that point, and I chose tennis. I think I just liked the individual, like being in control of my own destiny aspect right. over the team sport. So yeah, so I went to the University of South Carolina on a tennis scholarship and spent 4 years playing singles and doubles there.
Oh, that's awesome. Post-college, did you think you that was it? You were just going to kind of, you know, hang up your racket and play for fun?
I did. I was so burnt out by the end yeah. of, I remember NCAAs, my senior year. As soon as we lost, I took all my rackets, and I had a really good friend that was on the golf team, and I gave him all my tennis rackets, and I was like, I'm done. Like, I don't even want to see a tennis racket. And I ended up going to law school. So I didn't really have much free time to play tennis anyway for those 3 years. But yeah, I felt like, you know, my competitive days were over at that point.
It's funny. I had a similar experience with my swimming career. And I remember my last race, I took my cap and goggles, which isn't as exciting as a racket. And I just like threw them down and I was like, okay, I have done enough. But yeah. I mean, clearly, I think being a competitor your whole life, it just shows discipline and drive and other things, which I imagine drew you to your law career and wanting to go to law school. And did you end up going to law school and becoming a lawyer after that?
I did. I went to Villanova Law. And I think like looking back, like people are like, why did you become a lawyer? And I think I was just really an academic. Like I just loved school and I loved reading and writing. And so that sort of shifted me into the law career because that's pretty much all it is. But then once like I became a lawyer, I realized that I really didn't have the personality for it. I'm not a confrontational person. I am competitive. So yeah. That meshed well. But, I didn't want to be in a courtroom arguing. So I actually found a real little niche with my firm and I did a lot of background work, litigation work. And I was actually able to work from home for, I worked in the firm for almost 2 years. And then I worked from home for like 12 more. I think I was the first female to work from home and we're a huge national law firm. I think I was the first female to work from home. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when you had Anna Lee and became a mom, and you know, I'm a mom, I have daughters as well. Did your lifestyle change? Were you still as athletic? Were you working out all the way until she was born and post?
Yeah, I was always moving. I wasn't really playing sports, but I was always finding the gym or walking outside or, you know, doing something fun. But once Anna Lee was born, I would say, I think she was about 7 or 8. Again, she was always active doing all sorts of sports, but she told me at 7 or 8 that she wanted to play tennis. And that's when I actually picked up my tennis rackets again, was at that same exact time.
Do you think she felt that way because, you know, she knew about your career and wanted to sort of follow in your footsteps, or was your father involved in that, or just
no,
out of nowhere?
No, it was all Anna Lee. I didn't want her to play tennis. So I had never pushed it on her or given her a racket or anything. I think it was like you just said, I think she knew that I had played tennis and she, you know, she was getting into sports. And so she said, you know, I want to start playing tennis, Mom.
That's
and
so
I was
great.
Like, all right, here we go.
And so she did. She played tennis prior to pickleball. And I've heard you talk about soccer with her, which is common for girls. And yeah. Did you see anything like you thought, wow, she's got a lot of potential? Or
she really, up until she was probably about 8, she did a lot of sports, but like she didn't always seem like the most athletic. And even some of her like rec coaches would be like, are you sure she's your daughter? Because my husband was also a college athlete. And he was like, wait, 2 college athletes. Are you sure? Because, you know, she'd be the one on the soccer field, like picking up the daisy from the grass and the ball would be right next to her. And she'd just kind of like dance around it. And so it was kind of funny. Like, I wasn't sure at that point if she was going to become like super athletic. And it was right around 8 when all of a sudden the soccer took off for her. And right away, she picked up tennis pretty quickly.
That's awesome. And so let's jump to pickleball. You guys, maybe you can explain how you guys kind of got into it and how it became something you did together.
Yeah. So Anna Lee was doing soccer. Well, I guess I'll start with at 8, we decided to move to Florida from North Carolina just so that there were more like sporting opportunities for her. So we moved to Florida and Anna Lee got a full-time tennis coach and her tennis really did start kind of taking off. The soccer also was taking off. So she was pretty heavy into soccer and tennis. And I think she was a little 10 going on 11, a hurricane came through Florida and we decided to evacuate to my dad's up in Pennsylvania. And that's where the pickleball started. We got up there and he said, do you guys want to go play pickleball? And we said, no, we play tennis. We don't even really know what pickleball is. You know, all we knew is that he played with his friends, of course, which were all much older than we were. And we were like, nah, we don't really want to do that. But we ended up being up there for 2 weeks. So he finally got us out on the court. And literally that first day, we were like hooked. And I mean, we played one time with all like my dad's, you know, 60, 70 year old buds. And we had a blast. And from that point on, I think we played 2 to 3 times every day for 2 weeks.
Isn't that crazy? I feel like I hear this story. It's like it grabs you and then,
you know,
you just immediately, and I hate the word addiction because I feel like it has negative connotations, but it does kind of become like, I can't wait to get back on the court again.
I know. I think we went to like Dick's Sporting Goods and like bought paddles and like, we didn't know what we were buying, but you know, bought paddles. And there was actually a certified referee who was playing with my dad up there. And she taught us all the rules. So, you know, we got a pretty good education in that first 2 weeks. And it was enough to know that we absolutely loved it.
That's so awesome. So that's, you know, I love it. And I know a lot of people that play and love it, but they don't go to that next level. And right. Certainly not, you know, even for young kids, sometimes it's hard for them to focus on a sport because they want to try different sports or have a different type of environment. I remember with swimming, I had to pick a lane at some point, the proverbial lane, like which sport are you going to do? But, you know, you guys could have just had fun with it. So how did it get to something more serious for you? Or that you knew that there was something there for you.
Yeah, I think part of it was like, oh my gosh, like feeling that competitive surge within again was part of it. I think the other part of it was that I was good at it right away. My tennis like transferred perfectly. So when we came back to Florida, we joined a pickleball group in Delray Beach and there were some really good players and they kind of took me under their wing and said, hey, we're playing a pro tournament next month, will you be my partner? And
great.
And I was like, sure. I didn't even know there were tournaments or pro events. So I really just got thrown into it. And that first pro tournament, I got my butt whipped. So
Was it singles or doubles? Or
it was like doubles. No, it was doubles. It's just because though I was good at it, I was using most of my tennis skills and I didn't, I hadn't seen like true third shot drops and like, you know, the dinking for, you know, 10, 15 shots in a row. Like I had not seen that. And so when I got into this pro event, I didn't know what to do. I was like, what do I do with this? When somebody hits a third shot drop, I don't know how to hit it back, you know, right. I don't know how to dink five times in a row. So I think that actually like fueled me even more to want to get better. And yeah, that's how it started. Shaky start.
When you came back, did you think, all right, did you take lessons? Did you get a coach yourself? Were you like, I really want to study the game?
I didn't. I mean, really at this point, this was 2017. So even though there were some tournaments, they were fairly rinky dink. They were in your state. Like people weren't really, like the only tournaments people were really traveling to were like US Open or Nationals, or maybe there was like one or two TOC out in Brigham City, Utah. There just wasn't this huge circuit, you know? And right. So there weren't even really people teaching lessons. I mean, it was just like, you would go to the park and play with a bunch of people and mess around, and you'd play with people better than you and you'd play with people far worse than you. And
right.
It was actually a good time for Anna Lee, who was literally like the only child ever at a pickleball court for like the first year that we played. Kind of a good time for her to come in because I was good. And so people wanted to play with me. So they were very welcoming of Anna Lee wanting, you know, jumping in, even though she was 10, you know, they were really great about accepting Anna Lee. And she got so much experience just getting in the car and going with me from place to place.
So when you were playing at that time, was Anna Lee playing with you mostly? I think you homeschooled her correctly. And
yeah, my mother homeschooled. Actually, I was lucky enough that my mom was a teacher. So she actually homeschooled Anna Lee for most of her school life, actually. When we first started playing, Anna Lee would play, we'd go together, but then I would play with like the higher level and she would play with the lower level because she was like a 3.0, 3.5 when she first started playing. And I guess that's why I say I'm so lucky, because people were so accepting and we weren't playing together at that point.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But could you start to see something in her? You know, I played in Newport Beach and I've played at Bobby Riggs and I've played in Hawaii. And you know, there's a lot of great players out there. So it's hard to really identify, like, does that person have the potential to be really good? Even for both of you, for you to know, like, I think I have the potential to be better than just a great player.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely saw that Anna Lee had potential, again, because she was a pretty good tennis player. And it was also transferring over. So even though she was tiny and she didn't have a lot of strength, she had great footwork. She had great technique. She had great volleys. And so I definitely saw that she had potential. And she got so good so fast that in her first or second tournament, they actually bumped her up a division in the middle of the tournament because they were like, she's not a 3.0 or 3.5, you know, and they actually bumped her up. So yeah, we definitely saw that she had a lot of potential. But the interesting thing was, it was at that point in pickleball, it was like, yeah, she had potential, but there was not really any like end game in pickleball at that point. Like potential to be better. Yeah. But for what? Like there was no money, like sponsorships were like a couple $100 from the paddle company. I mean, there just wasn't a lot to work towards. So really, and I think it worked out in our favor for Anna Lee, it was just pure fun. Pickleball was just fun. And it was something that we could do with the family, with my dad. You know, we would go play at parks together or tournaments or whatever. And it was just pure fun.
Yeah. So not a lot of pressure at the time.
No pressure, none.
So then, but things have changed, right? So you guys have, you know, sort of fast forwarding a little bit. I mean, you had your own career and in pickleball, sort of separate from her as well, right? As a pro. And did you start to see it getting more serious yourself? Maybe sponsorships upping?
Yeah. It was starting to grow. You could see that the sport was going in the right direction. Still, I mean, I wouldn't say that the money was great. It still was sort of like something that we were coming out of pocket to do. Mm-hmm. But again, we were just having so much fun as a family of traveling, you know, places, spending weekends together, having fun together that we didn't really care that we were having to pay out of pocket. It was totally worth it. And we didn't have tons of time because Annalie was doing the travel soccer thing pretty hard at that point. Because she had started to play a couple tennis tournaments also. So even though the sport was going in the right direction and I was doing my own pro thing, it still wasn't something that was necessarily a focus. It's still like when I was playing with other partners, it was still like, yeah, I wanted to win and I wanted to be the best, but like I wasn't working towards a goal because there's still even 2018. That's I wasn't playing with her in 2018. There still wasn't a lot to be gained monetarily.
Right.
And again, for Annalie, it was still fun. She actually had paired up with a local girl who's one of our best friends now. Her name's Stacey Townsend, who was a Olympic level softball player. And they had teamed up together and they played that entire year together before Annalie played with me and won like every single tournament. And it was cute because they literally both started at 3-5 in that first tournament Annalie ever played in and worked their way all the way up till they were winning in 5-0 together. So it was
pretty cool. That's so fun. So yeah, so when was that kind of shift when you knew that this was like, it's fun and we're all having fun? Hopefully you still are having fun, but it just kind of shifted into something that was much bigger than you would have imagined.
I think it was starting in 2019. Annalie, I needed a partner for the Texas Open. My partner last minute couldn't come. And Annalie, I think, was just going to play mixed doubles. I don't think she had a partner for that tournament. So I looked over at her and I was like, she was at 5-0 at that point.
Yeah.
So I looked over at her and I was like, do you want to be my partner? And she was like, let's do it. So we went with like no expectations. I mean, at all, no expectations. And put ourselves in the pro event and we made it to the finals and we got second place. And it was that moment where I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. We didn't argue one time. We had a blast. We played so well. And it was funny because a pro had said to me at the beginning of the tournament, like, Annalie's not ready to play pro. And then, you know, she almost beat that person by the end of the tournament. So I was like, I think she's ready. I think she can handle it.
That's really interesting because just so were you, was there age brackets or it didn't matter at that point?
No, it was just open pro. Yeah, it was just open pro. The funny thing about age brackets, though, is that prior to her playing a pro tournament, in order to register for a tournament, you had to be, forget if it was 12 or 14. Like, I couldn't even go into pickleball tournaments and register her for a tournament. And that was when they ended up changing the entry to, like, 8 and above for, like, the 19 plus tournaments. It was because of Annalie, because I could never register her for any of the tournaments because no kids were playing.
Right.
Yeah. So
that's amazing. I mean, it's really groundbreaking in a lot of levels, but I mean, and I hope, and I see a lot of younger players on the court now. We just got completely beaten by a 14-year-old recently. He's very good. And we were surprised, which is great. Like, that's what you want. And anyone from 80 to, you know, 14 to 80. But so when you guys play together, because, you know, I have daughters and mother-daughter relationships, regardless, can be whatever they are.
Yeah,
there's lots of words we could use. But but it's when you're in competition, even, you know, some couples play together, you know, you have to kind of get on the same team and remember that you're on the same team. And it sounds like that just kind of happened for you guys.
Yeah, we were really lucky. It was kind of like why we did that trial run, to just kind of see what would happen. You know, would we argue? Would we fight? We don't fight off the court, so I wasn't expecting that we would argue, but you never know, like you said, you get into that competitive wanting to win. And we just clicked, and it was always just that team atmosphere and sort of like, even at a very young age, sometimes she was the coach on the court, you know, sometimes she would have the advice and I treated her the same that she treated me as an equal.
That's great.
And I think that was part of why we were successful because, you know, she never felt like she was the child and I was the mom when we were on the court. We were a team, you know, we were an equal team. So I think that dynamic really helped us.
That's great. So then what happens next? Because you play together and again, you guys could have fun with it and it's gone in a much bigger direction. And I actually was at the ballpark series in San Francisco.
Oh, cool.
Saw you guys. took a picture with Anna Lee, and just, you know, kudos to you guys because she's just so poised and wonderful, and you can just tell appreciates it. But, you know, that's a far departure from, again, just playing mother-daughter. I think there are a lot of family members that play tournaments together, and you don't, no one knows their name, but everybody in the world knows your name and Anna Lee's name, right? So how did that transpire?
Yeah, I think 2019 was a big year because not only did we start playing together regularly, but the sport was also starting to take the big rise. We were seeing a lot more tournaments, a lot more sponsorships. It was becoming a lot more feasible to travel around other than her soccer schedule. So soccer still came first that year. If there was a soccer game or tournament, we didn't go to a pickleball tournament. We did soccer. That was her love. Soccer was her true love. Like, I would never have told her to quit soccer. That was going to be her thing. And we won nationals together at the end of 2019. That was the first like real big tournament that we won together. And I think that's when we were like, whoa, we're pretty good. Like, and the sport's growing and like, we could do this. And I think we were planning on hitting 2020 pretty hard, like pretty focused. And that's when COVID hit.
Right. I talked to Wayne Dollard. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah.
He and his wife are pros, and his son. He told me that soccer players often make very good pickleball players because of their footwork, and that it's not uncommon either tennis or soccer to really have those skills. So that's probably part of why she was so good at pickleball to begin
with. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Not only the footwork, but also, like, as you know, if you play tournaments, well, even if you play rec, you play like 4 hours, or in a tournament, you play all day long. You might play, you know, 4 or 5 matches or whatever it is in a day. So like, you need endurance. Soccer, she was a center midfielder. So all she did was run up and down. So she had tremendous endurance. She had tremendous like quick speed. Plus she had the tennis background. So it was like, it all kind of came together, and yeah, it just made her a really good pickleball player.
Yeah, it's really awesome to watch. And I think about that with body type too. And you see a lot of the players that really can get like down low to the ground, you know, and they're just in that position. So my boyfriend is really tall, and he often gets hit with the ball in his chest.
Big target.
Yeah. In 2019, though, I feel like, because a lot of people attribute the growth of pickleball to COVID, because that's when a lot of people started playing themselves. But it sounds like prior to that, there was a little bit of fuel in the fire. And I think that, you know, maybe that's from what's gone on with Duper and the growth of the MLP or the ideas behind it. But during COVID, it became, I think, more popular just recreationally. And I feel like that's when a lot of people started hearing about it. So what were you guys doing during COVID? Were you
not playing pickleball? No. We always joke that like the best thing that ever happened to pickleball was COVID, you know, which isn't really a joke because COVID was terrible. But like for pickleball, like you said, I mean, it was something that people could do and like, you know, have the social distancing and get, you know, be outside, and they could do it in their driveway. They could do it in the streets, the park, wherever. I really think everybody did sort of like the country, I think, fell in love with pickleball. For us, my mother was still homeschooling Anna Lee, and, you know, we were very fearful because nobody in 2020 really knew what COVID was. And we were really scared because Anna Lee was with my mom every day. And still, soccer was Anna Lee's focus, and soccer did continue here in Florida. There was a little break, but we felt like it was outside and she was with her peers, and it was a little bit safer than traveling for the pickleball. So what we did is we, in order to kind of like stay in pickleball, we had our little COVID group, which was a whole mix of ages and levels. There was about 8 of us. And we played, you know, a couple of days a week, and everybody, you know, knew that everybody else was being safe. That was the total extent of what our pickleball was in 2020. It was very interesting, though, because all the other pros did the complete opposite. So they kept traveling because they couldn't go to work. Now they're playing more. Now they're going to the gym. You know, they're hitting it harder than they were before. And we were doing a lot less than we were before. So coming back in 2021 was an eye-opening experience.
Yeah, tell me, what was it? And were you surprised at how people had gotten better, or just how many more pros there were?
Both. Our first tournament, we did terrible. We went out there, we lost to good players, so don't get me wrong, but people that we had been beating, the ball all of a sudden was coming back so much faster. We, you know, gained a lot of traction because we were super aggressive. And like 2019, everybody still wanted to dink. They still wanted to use the soft game. And we were coming like firing from, you know,
right,
from everywhere on the court. And that's kind of what we were known for. Well, when we came back in 2021, all of a sudden the game was much faster. Everybody was speeding up balls. Everybody was driving. Like, it was a totally different game. And we were like, whoa, this is what we normally do, not right, what other right. people do to us. And I just remember we left that tournament like, wow, we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do. We also found out that people had started letting up their paddles. So now their paddles were way heavier. So the ball coming back was way heavier. And we were like, I guess we got, you know, we had so right. much to learn all over again. But I think that also, once again, like, relit the fire of getting better. Like, we want to get better.
And at that time, did Anna Lee decide, okay, I'm going to let soccer go, or was she still doing both?
She was still doing soccer. She still loved soccer. What she decided to let go was tennis. So during COVID, she decided to drop the tennis. She liked the practice, but she did not like the junior tournaments. She just, you have to love tennis.
Yeah.
I guess what I'll say. The junior tournaments are not very fun. And she only played like 4 or 5, but by the last one, she was like, Mom, this is not fun. You know, and I was like, I get it. So she decided COVID year, she really focused on soccer. She got real, real good at soccer, minimal pickleball. And then, so then coming back 2021, she had soccer and pickleball to focus on. And so we really started putting a lot more time into the pickleball, because now pickleball was even bigger, because now we're coming off COVID where everybody knows what it is and the celebrities were playing and. Yeah. You know, the NBA players are playing in the bubble and the baseball teams are playing in the dugouts, you know, whatever. And it's like just a big thing. And so we see now like, okay, it's worth putting in this extra time. We still love it. We want to be better. And so I would say the first half of 2021 was a very much rebuilding era of our pickleball.
And did you, at that point, did you, again, like, now there's more, you know, videos out or coaching, or did you guys just kind of stick with your game and just put
what
in the
what we did was, because I felt like I knew the game pretty well, and I knew that I would be Annalise's best coach, and she wanted me to be her coach. What we started doing was drilling. We had never done the drilling before. We had always just gone out and played, but we realized we needed to work on shots, and we needed to get better, and we needed to mess around with the lead tape and the placement yeah. and how heavy our paddle should be, and really, we just started drilling like 80% of the time, which That's, was I've a huge change before. For us.
I've heard that really it should be, you know, drilling 80%, playing 20% if you want to get better, because in a game, you may not practice a shot that you need work on, right? So yeah, lead tape's interesting, because when I first went to meet Wayne Dollard, and they were putting lead tape on every paddle. And you know, there's a lot, and I was like, everyone needs lead, you know, and then I was like, well, why aren't the paddles just heavier to begin with? But then it becomes, you know, sort of a personal choice and, Correct. You know, what you want. But how did that change your game when you guys decided to weight your paddles?
It just really helped us, really can balance out the paddle, but it also helps a lot with like the counters. So now everybody's speeding the ball up at us. And if we can have that heavier power now, heavier paddle, now we have that heavier ball coming back. And that's what it really helped us with, was countering, honestly.
Right.
Yeah.
And then how did you guys get sort of relationships? Were you being approached with sponsorship? Because I talked to Lindsay Newman. She and Riley played their first tournament. It's a funny story on a different podcast. Everyone should subscribe and listen so they can hear it. But that, you know, they just got approached and they you know, someone wanted to sponsor them on the spot. And this was really early. But did the same thing happen for you guys?
The same thing happened. With us, with Paddle Tech, literally the first tournament Anna Lee played in, the Paddle Tech rep was there and saw Anna Lee play and just thought like, wow, this kid's got potential and she's a kid. There's no kids playing pickleball. So they like sponsored her like almost right away.
Oh, interesting.
And then, yeah, she was like 10, going on 11 and she probably had a better sponsorship than I did to start off. But then they saw like, oh, wait, this is so cool. Mother, daughter, you know. starting to play together. And that's kind of when I moved over to Paddle Tech also. And so we've been with Paddle Tech pretty much since the beginning. And they were our first like true big sponsor. I would say the rest of the sponsorships, the bigger ones, probably all started trickling in like that 2021 year.
Yeah. For us. And how did that feel as a mom? I mean, you know, I have friends whose kids model, for example, and they're happy. They're like, great. Look, if they can build up a little bit of a nest egg at a young age and they're happy doing it, I'm not forcing it. You know, like, was that the same perspective you had? Like,
oh, 100%. The only thing I didn't like was when she started beating me in like in singles. I was like, wait, she's 12 and she's beating me in singles already? Like, what the heck? Like, that took me a minute.
Yeah.
But no, as far as like her successes in pickleball, it's been the same. Like, this is so amazing. And I'm so proud, like just so proud of her on so many different levels. And the fact that people that ask me that all the time, like, does it like upset you that you're not, that Annalie's like, you're not in the spotlight, that Annalie overshadows you? And I was like, oh my God, I'm just like ecstatic that that's what's happening. Like, you know, I've had my college career and I've been there, done that. And like for her, even at this level, it's just amazing. And I'm so happy. Yeah,
that is really nice. I mean, again, it shows both of you have a lot of maturity and poise and just the way you approach the sport. I mean, it's really exciting. The growth is outrageous. I mean, with the MLP and that just started, right? That was in the beginning of your career. It wasn't there and those choices weren't there. So how did that kind of come together for you guys picking teams and then you became a coach? Like, how was that? How did that conversation all work out?
Well, the first MLP, was it before COVID or I can't remember when
doing the work before, but I think it was
so
on
We were a part of the first ever MLP, and it was a very different thing than what it is now. And it was just a lot of fun. We didn't really know if the team thing would be something for the future or not. Yeah. And then we joined with the PPA, and so we missed sort of those middle MLPs. And then I got injured.
I wanted to ask you how you're healing also.
Yeah. So I guess just to keep the story making sense, at the end of 2021, Annalie came to us at Nationals. We were actually at Nationals, and she said, I don't want to play soccer anymore. She said, there's so much going on in pickleball and I'm good at it. And she and I think had gotten towards, you know, winning again. And we actually won Nationals again. And it's in 2021, right? Yeah, 2021. We won Nationals for the second time. And she said, I'm worried I'm going to get injured in soccer. It's so rough. There's three or four girls on her team had torn ACLs that year. One girl had fractured her back that year. Okay. And she said, it's not a matter of like, if it's going to happen, it's a matter of when it's going to happen. And
that's
amazing,
her maturity.
Yeah, I know.
That.
Like, I know. I just, sometimes I'm like, geez, she's like an old soul. I don't know.
Yeah.
She's
very
totally wise. Awesome. She's very wise.
Yes.
But I wish I was that wise when I was her.
Me too.
But she said, I can't do it anymore. And I couldn't believe it because it was, like I said, it was her love and her passion. She had dreams of going to Europe and playing, and she actually gotten invited to do that. So it was just, I was shocked. But at the same time, like, I thought it was the right decision.
Uh-huh.
So fast forward 2022, we're like the number one or number two women's team that year in the PPA rankings. And we get to Nationals. We're going for a three-peat. And I tear my ACL in the mixed doubles. If I could take back 2 seconds of my life, that would be it.
I know. And you knew right away that something.
Yeah, I knew right away. I was praying it wasn't the ACL. I was praying it was like the MCL, or, you know, I sprained it, or just anything but the ACL. It could have been anything, just not the ACL. But it ended up, I completely ruptured it. So I had to have surgery. And I thought, like, for the next couple of months, I really thought like my life was like over, because it was all I had focused on for so long. And it was like, I knew that me and getting to play with Annalie was probably over. And I think that was the hardest thing. It wasn't like, oh, I can't play pro pickleball. It was like, oh, this like dream of playing with her, which has been the most amazing thing, is over. Yeah. And I really struggled with that for, I would say, probably until I actually had my ACL surgery, which was like 4 months later. I really struggled with that.
And yeah, I'm sure you did. And, you know, how did you kind of keep your mental game then? Because it's, you know, once you started to go down that path of feeling really like, I'm really enjoying this, there's something that's going on, it's really good, and then it's taken away, you know, how do you kind of come back around and focus on
what's I think it was two things. I think one thing was I really started just focusing on Annalie, and it actually, I don't know, I guess it kind of makes sense. I actually like felt a lot of stress leave my body because now I don't have to focus about myself anymore. And I don't have the stress of like, oh, I got to play good or I'm going to let her down because she's better than me now. You know, she's better than me. So like now I'm the person getting most of the balls where it used to be she got most of the balls. And so like all of a sudden I didn't have that pressure anymore and I could just focus on her and I could just be a parent and I could just be a coach and I could really just like help her. So I found that. And then I got asked to coach MLP team.
And which is amazing.
It was so cool because prior to that, like the MLP teams didn't really have coaches. Like they had GMs or owners, but not really like true coaches. And so that was the first kind of season where they had like some of the senior pros act as coaches. And then the Annalie's team asked me to coach. And I was like, wow, this is really fun.
That's amazing. I mean, I'm sort of surprised to hear you say that just because it's like, it could be a goal of yours, but I really want to be a coach. But instead, you keep using the word fun, which is amazing. And that's what everyone wants to associate with, you know, their life. But pickleball is usually, and so it's great that you found fun in coaching.
Yeah. Just as much and as playing. I never really thought about like coaching other people before, but coaching a team, it's like totally different.
Yeah.
And getting to coach other players, I started thinking like, cause I've never loved like going out and just teaching a lesson.
Yeah.
You know, like I could never be like an instructional where I just go out and give lessons all day. Like that's just not me, but I love the strategy. And I feel like that's like my strength is kind of seeing the court and understanding the strategy. And so, like getting to coach that team was just a lot of fun. And then fast forward to the last MLP, I was coaching two teams. I was coaching Annalie's team in the Premier League. And then I was coaching the Fives, asked me to coach their team, which was now in the Challenger League. So that was like, whoa, I was like doing double duty.
Type of coaching? Was it, like you said, more strategy, like court strategy, shot construction, or is it more who should play with who and which games and how, like things like
that? It's a little of that, which usually like I'll give an opinion, but it's, you know, you got to kind of let the players decide that because they know what their chemistry is like. And so it's a little bit of that, but then it's also just mainly like, and you don't want to give too much strategy because with rally scoring and how fast all the moving parts of an MLP match, like you can't get overloaded with it, but just sometimes you can say just one thing and it can change the dynamic of a match. Or maybe like you guys need to switch. You're so in the moment, like you don't think about switching sides or just even being a big old cheerleader. You know, just screaming to death for them and just them knowing that like they've got somebody on the sidelines.
Yeah.
It's so pressure filled when you've got people that you can look over and like MLP's got the different dynamic because you can coach in between points and you can talk to the players. And so like, I'll never forget James Ignatowicz looking over at me and saying, fire me up, Lee, fire me up. You know, like in between points. So it's like, it's so different from like a PPA dynamic.
Right.
It's kind of cool to go from coaching like the PPA to MLP.
And what do you think about the rally scoring? Do you like playing that way or do you?
I don't like it at all. Everybody, I can say that because everybody knows I don't like it. I don't like it for so many reasons. I mean, I think it works for MLP. I wouldn't want to see it ever be the scoring the norm. for the norm. Yeah. Or the
right. It is interesting to see what will happen, because there'll be players who kind of only know that scoring, right?
Yeah.
If they're watching on TV, they've never played, and they just assume that's the scoring. And there's all the jokes about how hard the traditional scoring is to remember anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love the mood at the MLP games, that kind of raucous crowd, which is very different than tennis, right? Like, it's, you know, and you know, again, coming from a swimming background, you'd be surprised at how much it meant when you would lift your head up and there would be someone at the end of your lane, because you could scream the whole time. There's no quiet period. Just knowing that someone's like, go, and you're like, okay, you
know, I got them.
Yeah. So I can imagine that they really love the coaching, and the team dynamic is really special, because it does create how you play individually is so important, but then realizing that contributes to the team success is.
Yeah. I think that's why it adds like so many more pressures, like, because all of a sudden you're playing for three people plus your owner, plus your coach, plus there's so many people that all of a sudden you feel like you're carrying the weight of all those people. Yes. And it's a different dynamic for sure.
So how has it been now with Anna Lee? She's very well known. She and Ben Johns, you know, if recreational players even know anyone's name, which some of them don't, but, but that's changing really fast. Right. And the sponsorships are, you know, amping up, and the interest in the sport and potentially Olympics, you know, how's that sort of changed your, you know, your dinner time discussion or, you know?
Well, we went from always going to dinner on tournament, like we'd leave the tournament and go to dinner, to we only get takeout, because it started to be like we would go to dinner, and just because you're in the, you know, area where a pickleball tournament is, like you'd end up not being really able to eat your dinner because people are coming up to your table. And
yes.
So, yeah. And, you know, we rarely stay in hotels at pickleball tournaments. We get Airbnbs for the same reason, because it's hard to go down and eat breakfast or try, you know, not be stopped a lot. And that happens mainly when you're at a tournament. It does happen. It is starting to happen more, where we'll go somewhere like random and there's somebody who knows who she is.
Yeah.
And that's cool and weird at the same time. Like, she's really into like building her brand and like wanting to do more. And I kind of keep reminding her, like, but like, how many people do you want to know who you are? Because it can go from this, like, it's cool to like, you know, the celebrity, the super celebrities can't even go out and be a normal person. Right. So
I think maybe the cat's out of the bag on that one. I hate to break it to you. But as a mom, and she's still a child, and you know, even though she's a very mature and wonderful and, you know, like old soul, she still doesn't have all the perspectives that you have as the mom. And I think with the Olympics coming and all the things that are coming ahead, you know, she will get more well known. And have you guys thought about how you're managing it now? And it sounds like you made a few changes, and how to help her keep it in perspective and still be, you know, a teenager. Being teenagers, girls, fun, you know?
I mean, one of the things that we've always instilled in her was you treat others how you want to be treated. And that was way before pickleball. And that was way before anybody knew who she was or what her name was. And, you know, to always be respectful. That was one thing that, you know, that we've always, from the very beginning, instilled in her. Also, I've always said to her, the minute you start changing and you becoming somebody else is the minute we start scaling this back, because you're not going to become this, like, I don't know whether we're prima donna or, you know, she's done a really, really, really wonderful job of staying true to herself.
That's good.
And I'm very proud of her for that. But it's like you said, I mean, things keep getting bigger and bigger. And my main goal as a parent is to make sure that she doesn't. Of course, you're going to change, but to make sure that you're not changing for the worse. And media makes that so hard.
It makes it hard, no matter who you are, you know, like it really, and it's hard to stay off of all of them. But I do think that everyone tends to come back to their roots and how they were raised. In even if they go off course for a little while, they tend to have that. And it sounds like you guys have a really good family base. I mean, there have been a lot of athletes that have gone on, and they're well known, like, you know, gymnasts and, you know, swimmers that, you know, that they go off into the world and they're well known forever, but they tend to be known for, you know, doing great things and being inspirational to a lot of other kids, whether those, you know, kids end up, you know, being as good as an Olympian or not. I think it is inspiring. And also because this sport spans so many ages, I think, I mean, you know, Anna Lee has the potential to be inspiring, you know, as do you to so many different age ranges. And I think keeping that in perspective, that it's also really, it is hard to have that pressure, but it's also really inspiring. And then it's just for you guys as a family to figure out what the boundaries are for you.
Yeah. And I think it's been really cool for Anna Lee to see like how many kids are now playing, and not that it's all due to her, of course it's not, but like so many of them, like teeny, you know, up to kids her age and even older, you know, I started playing because I saw you play.
Yeah.
Or my mom watched you and your mom play, so she asked me to play, and now we play together. And I think some of the coolest stories for me, we've had families come up to us and say, like, seeing the your dynamic has saved our family. Like, you know, we pickleball has saved our family, and thank you so much. And like, of course, it's not due to us, but just knowing that like there's a bigger picture and it's not all about winning and losing. And I think Anna Lee is starting to understand that too, that it's not always about winning, and losing sucks. Yeah. And maybe she hasn't handled losing the greatest, but like she's starting to get that there's more to it. And if there's a bit much bigger picture.
Yeah.
That's how you grow as a person.
Totally. I mean, these are, you know, young minds. That's part of the downside of social media along with other things, but there's a lot of influence. And so it sounds like she has the best influence with you and your husband and your dad and like, you know, really.
Yeah, people we travel as a pack. She's always had like a great support base, you know, and like never any pressure from us. Like if she came to me tomorrow and said, I'm miserable, I hate it, I'm not going to make her do it. You know what I mean? And it's always been like that with any of her sports. Like, I don't want her to be burnt out. I want her to be happy. I want her to do what she loves. So luckily, she's thriving in what she loves.
There's a lot of soccer players, female soccer players, that have led the charge for young women to want to be soccer players. And I think that's why, you know, women's soccer has bloomed. And I really believe that pickleball has so many facets that are, there was an article that said, can pickleball save America? And then you're, I really think it is, because there's so much other, you know, darkness, and it is such a light. And I think that's part of why I started this podcast, was I really wanted to expose what the light is. What are all these wonderful, happy moments that are bringing people together? And also people are losing weight and people are reconnecting and people are motivated to get out of their houses and do, you know, not feel isolated. But, you know, to be a celebrity, like we talked about, is slightly different. And so for you guys, I think there's good pressure and bad pressure. There's the-
So what's coming next
for you guys? What's in the next year? Is there anything on the horizon?
Yeah, I think next year, you know, we're seeing how this PPA MLP merger is going to play out. So we still don't have like a finite schedule for next year, and how the two are going to intertwine. I think it's going to be a very busy year.
Yes.
Between the two. But there's a lot of exciting things. I mean, just the TV coverage for next year is just insane. And I thought this year was insane. And next year is even better. The sponsorships just keep getting better and better. Like big name sponsors are now getting into the sport. You know, it's not any longer like you're only sponsored by your paddle or, but you know, by something, you know, intrinsic into the sport. Now you're, I mean, like Tyson and Miller Lite, and you know, you're seeing some really big, like Carvana, you're seeing some big companies getting involved. And so that's super exciting. Anna Lee wants there to be like an international push.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the sport needs to go that way. We have a Canadian stop next year. So that's pretty cool.
Great.
She's going to continue to do some more ballpark series like you talked about. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a really busy year. I plan on coming back next year from my injury, but not full time. going to do maybe a couple with Anna Lee things that maybe don't count as much. I don't want to throw a wrench in anything.
But you're healed and you can, you're feeling good and you can.
I'm still not really back with the court yet, but they say by January I should be good to go. So well,
sending you lots of healing vibes.
Yes. Thank you. So yeah, so I'll still be coaching and I'm working with the Pickle Four people. So I got a lot of advisory roles and stuff going on. So I'll be busy.
And does Anna Lee want to come out with any sort of branding of her own, or does she have ideas for things that she'd like to do?
Yeah. So she just came out with a logo that we're trademarking right now. And once we get further into that process, she does want to start some type of branding of something. We haven't quite figured out what it's going to be. She has a brand new paddle with Paddle Tech coming out, going to be introduced, I think, in November at Nationals, carbon fiber paddle. So that's exciting. It's got her logo on it. And but yeah, so we're in talks with some people about creating some pretty fun, handily branded items. So
that's great.
Coming soon.
Like I said, I think it's exciting. It's not, you know, like a lot of young women, young, you know, it's really not just young. I mean, one of my friends who's a 52-year-old, very good player, dad with kids, thinks, you know, it's like, oh, I want to watch Anna Lee on TV. Like, it's
yeah.
Not, you know, everyone wants to see a good player play. So, and everyone wants to get better. So I think that's really exciting.
That is the cool thing about the sport is it's like all the age, you know, sex, ethnicity, whatever, it all goes out the window and like everybody just comes together and plays pickleball, which
yeah,
is amazing.
Even, you know, in San Francisco, there's a lot of people, you know, that end up on the court. I mean, it is as random as the world is.
And
some people don't speak any English and it doesn't matter, you know. And speaking of international, I have always had a fantasy of moving to Spain once my kids are on their own.
Cool.
And so I follow Pickleball Spain. And then I interviewed someone who was from Spain, who's creating a documentary called A Game Changer about the growth of pickleball. And she's from Spain. And so she follows it. And then she told me in Australia. So it's getting really big.
Yeah.
In Canada, it's big. And I think it's only a matter of time. There's a lot of Asian countries that,
yes,
you know, traditionally played other racket sports like badminton or ping pong. And so, yes, I don't think there's going to be, it's like, you know, it's as big as you and Anna Lee want it to be for you. And then it's just putting it in perspective. But I really appreciate that you guys keep people interested and that you're very grounded. You're a great family as an example. It's similar to the Dollards that, you know, Wayne and his wife and their son, and like just really bringing grounded people to the sport. So thank you. Good luck with your recovery. I'm sending you lots of healing energy and it's exciting to watch you coach. And as a mom, it's just really awesome to watch you. You know, clearly you've done a great job. You should pat yourself on the back.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, it's so funny. Like we talk about social media. Annalie's like, yeah, I don't really like meet people send me mean things. And I'm like, cause they send it all to me. Like, like I get all the like, which is fine. I'd rather me get it. But like, sometimes I'm like, geez, poor people just, geez, you know, like,
interesting. That's better. That's better. It's just much better for you to be receiving it. Well, good luck in this year. Hopefully we'll check back in. We'll check in with you guys near the end of the year and see how you're doing. And
yeah,
and
just awesome.
Wish Anna Lee good luck in all of her matches coming up and that you guys just keep it up. It's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. No, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Simply Pickleball. We will be back very soon with great interviews, discussions, and more all about pickleball. Don't forget to subscribe to our channels on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, or any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Until next time, happy dinking.